Welcome this afternoon to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are back live in the studio today, as we almost always are, just weren't last week. So some of you that are regular listeners to this show, I was up in snowy Indiana enjoying time with my kids, several grandkids, 10 of them, 10 of the 12, having just an amazing time, and glad to be right back here today. And Nan, you guys survived without me fine, didn't you?
I wouldn't say that.
Yes, you would.
Well, no, I mean, survive. What was the term you used just then?
Survived fine.
I mean, we did okay. We always miss you when you're not here.
Thank you.
And we're happy, though, when you have the opportunity to get to go up and see those wonderful children and grandchildren and, you know, spend time with them. That's so needed. And I think that actually sets an example.
Yeah.
For those of us in the church that don't get so caught up with everything in life that you don't spend time with your family.
Absolutely.
And yours happens, the majority, you know, a lot of you are up there, so yeah. You have to go the way they are.
Right. Was so blessed this Christmas to have my youngest son, Mark, and his wife, Candy, and baby Joel here with me for almost 2 weeks, and that was great. And then I went to Indiana and enjoyed, 9 more of my grandkids, plus my daughter and her family and my son and his, and all their wonderful times with grandkids, because I just got number 12 grandchild. Number 12 grandchild was just born, so I had to go meet the new guy.
Absolutely.
You know, right? The new guy. Awesome Dawson. His name is Dawson McAllister. So very excited about that, and very excited to be right back here today because I drove in a lot of snow last week, and I know y'all don't understand what snow is, right, Angel? You've never been in any of it ever, have you?
Nope.
Never been in any?
Well, I've traveled to some, but I didn't have to drive in it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You've never driven in it?
Nope.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun. Yep. So I drove in about 7 inches last Saturday and spent a few hours driving in it. So a lot of fun. Anyway, so glad to be right back here with you today. As always, most of the time, there's only a couple times a year maybe that we use a rerun, and we had to last week. For the most part, this show is live every single week, and we love being on the air with you week after week, bringing you fresh word, fresh word. It's like eating fresh vegetables versus stuff that's been frozen forever, right? It's fresh, Nan. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like fresh vegetables.
Well, you know, I'm really not into vegetables very much.
Oh,
you know,
I should have asked Angel about that. Yeah.
But I do know the concept, because my parents love vegetables, and the fresh ones are so much better than the frozen ones.
You know the concept of vegetables?
Yes, ma'am.
Angel, that's an interesting comment, don't you think?
It
she knows
sure
the
is.
The concept of vegetables. Like, vegetables are what's the concept behind vegetables?
Well, they're actually healthy for you. And
there
you
go. That was what you were supposed to say. They are very healthy for you. They're good for you. Angel, she knows the concept behind vegetables and all that healthy stuff. And you do, too. You understand all that, too, right?
Oh, yes. Firsthand.
Firsthand. That's right. So, you know, we understand the healthiness of being in the Word of God and proclaiming the Word week after week right here on the air, on these airwaves, and it is a joy to always be right here. Always a joy to be right here. So anyway, we are looking forward to a mighty show right now, and looking forward to just talking to you about the Word of God and what God is doing in our lives, and give you some encouraging word and some reason to keep on plugging along, you know? What is it we do on this show, Angel? And then you can mention our Thursday night show if you'd like.
You know, this show is just, you know, sending the hope and the love of God out to other people so that they can, too, experience the freedom and the hope and the power and the love and everything that comes with that.
Absolutely. That's why we're here week after week. And we love doing that. Tell them about our Thursday night show. That's for you and me.
Yes, it is. Thursday night here on the station at 6 o'clock goes Go Yard. Go Yard's a baseball term for hitting the home run in life. So it is a show about helping you to live your life and to live it well. Life Coaching Radio.
It is. We look forward to it. 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. Also, the five stations of TanTalk, 1340 a.m., 1350 a.m., 1400 a.m., and the two FM stations, 106.1 FM and 104.3 FM. That's five stations coming right out of this studio, right where we are right now. And so it's a joy and a privilege to be able to do that week after week, this show and our Thursday night show. Let's pray and thank God for this time together. Dear Lord, we thank you. We praise you from the bottom of our hearts for the way you are moving in our lives, in the lives of the people in our ministry, those that tune into this show regularly, those that just may be catching it for the first time. Lord, we know that you are moving in our lives, that you love us, that you have a plan for each of us, and that you have not forgotten our situations and what we're going through at each given moment. So, Lord, we just ask you right now to bless this show today. Bless it entirely for your glory. And Lord, we just want to be your spokespeople right here on the air, sharing your good news with everyone who listens now or in the future on podcast. And we give you the glory and the praise for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
I want to start the show with an old song that used to be my favorite. It's not my favorite anymore, I would say, but it's one that I absolutely love. And it is River of My Life by Debbie Selby. Redeemer. Lord, I say. Lord and Savior, lover of my soul. That's who he is, dear ones. That's who he is. He loves you so much, dear listener. Oh, he loves you so very much. River of my life. I love that song. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 to begin with today. Not where I thought I was going to start, but where God just dropped in my heart. So here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. And this is really back when Moses was leading the children of Israel. And God was speaking very directly to him about the future and what was to happen. And in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 6, here's what God says. Listen obediently, Israel. Do what you're told so that you'll have a good life. You know the name of this show is Living the Good Life? That's what it is. That's not a coincidence that we named it this. We anguished over names clear back in 2007 when this program began. We're now in our 12th year. And we couldn't decide on a good name. A lot of things came up, and finally we landed on Living the Good Life, because that's what God is for us. That's what he wants for us. And in Deuteronomy 6:3, it says, do what you're told so that you'll have a good life. Obedience to God and to his word promises us a good life, a life of abundance and bounty, just as God promised, in a land abounding in milk and honey. And this is what God promised them clear back then. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Attention, Israel. God our God, God the one and only. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all that you've got. That's the key to a good life, Dr. Angel. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Loving God,
yes,
with our whole heart.
Absolutely. All of us.
All of us.
All of us. That's hard to do.
Why is that hard to do?
I think we want to keep pieces back for ourselves or for other things, or I don't know. We're scared to give it all up.
Well, yeah, because we think that God may ask us to do something we don't want to do, right? Oh. How many times have you heard people say, I just can't surrender my life to God because he might send me to Africa or some other country to be a missionary? I remember saying that to God myself.
Absolutely. He may ask us to do something we're not prepared. Or, you know, I think sometimes we hold back pieces of our heart because, well, what if he doesn't do what he says he's going to do, and it shatters? What am I going to do? How am I going to pick up from that? And so that trust factor.
It's a trust factor. It really is. But God never promises us that everything's always going to be perfectly easy. Or in fact, he promises us that we will grow through our problems, which I mentioned this morning in my sermon. And you were there, Angel. So yes. You heard that people were not like that crazy about that concept that we need a problem, right?
No, they were not excited. There wasn't an amen on that one.
There was no amen there, right?
Great.
But when we have these problems and we learn how to trust God, that's why we have to have problems. That's why we have to have things that don't always go the way we think they should go. And I love this. Let's go down to chapter 7, verse 1 in Deuteronomy, if you're just joining us. We're in Deuteronomy 7, 1. We're in our brand new series that's a couple weeks old, Promised Land. Deuteronomy 7:1, when God, your God. I like the fact that chapter 7 starts with the word when, not if God. Why is that different? Why is that so important right there, Angel?
Well, if means it could happen, it may not happen, maybe. When means it's going to.
Yeah, it's going to. When God, your God, brings you into the country that you are about to enter and take over, he will clear out the superpowers that were there before you. We talked about these superpowers this morning, and we're going to talk about them again this afternoon later on. The Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Every one of these are very important. These are superpowers that the children of Israel had to conquer. And there were seven of them. And it says, those seven nations are all bigger and stronger than you are. Whoa! Now, is that good news or not? These seven nations that you are going to have to conquer are all bigger and stronger than you are. That's kind of daunting, right? When we are told, you know, okay, this, you're going to have a huge battle here. This is going to be really big. The battle's going to be stronger than you are. Our human nature says, oh, I can't do that. Who am I that I can fight a battle like that? And to me, it's amazing here that God says, but don't worry about all that. You must completely destroy them, offering them up as a holy destruction to God. It's, but that that sentence I left out right there, right at that they are stronger than you, God, your God, will turn them over to you and you will conquer them. Talk to me about that, Angel. That is like, yeah, this is going to be super bad here. Here we go. But well, yeah, you're going to win.
Yeah. And so what God's saying is, look, in your own strength, you're not going to be able to do this. They are bigger. They're more equipped. They have whatever it is that makes them stronger than
right.
you. And nope, in your human power, it's not happening. However, I've got your back. You're going to have it.
You're going to win. You're going to conquer. It's always nice to know that when we go into a battle that we've already know that we're going to win. Right? Whatever that battle is, right? And how does this apply to our daily lives, Angel? And then we'll get to Nan here in a minute. She's just getting settled in her chair, so we'll give her a minute to rest. How does this apply to our daily lives? Because so often our problems are bigger than we can, imagination, fix.
Absolutely. And, you know, and God told them, you're going to win this. So the, you know, every day has the ups and the downs and the things are looking better. Things are not looking as good. And when you, you know, the end result, okay, all this not looking good is going to come back because God said this is going to happen. It's like watching a sporting game, already knowing the end outcome of the game. So when you see like your team miss that catch or miss that, you know, touchdown or whatever, and you're just like, there's no emotion in that. You notice that? Have you ever watched like the replay of the Super Bowl after you knew your team
won?
Right. And then you're just kind of laughing at all their mess ups because it's kind of funny that they could mess up so much and still win.
That's exactly
right.
That's
kind of how we're doing it. Kind of takes that emotion out of that day to day up and down when we know what's going to happen at the end.
It should.
Yeah.
I'm going to grant you that point, but I'm also going to be a devil's advocate here. It should, but in our humanness, we tend to go along with the what ifs. What if it doesn't? What if God doesn't come through? What if this doesn't happen the way God told me he's going to?
Yeah,
right?
We do. And that shows where sometimes we're still questioning and we don't have the trust that we need to have.
What's wrong with that, Nan? What is wrong with us having that kind of a mindset where we are wondering, did God really tell me the truth? It's just like Adam and Eve, you know? Satan saying to them, did God really tell you that, not to eat of that? Did he really? You sure that's what he meant?
Well, you know, our faith is tested and tried at those times in life, you know? And
yeah.
You know, it's so important to stay in the Word and spend time in the Word and spend time with the Lord because He'll let you know it's all going to be all right. You know, I mean, probably one of the major things I faced in a long time was my job situation. And my boss told me, I'm not going to rehire you, but you can look for another job. So she let me take time off to look for another job. It took 8 months. And during that time, there was, you know, I would try to have faith. And once in a great while, I'd say, God, what are you doing here?
Right.
You know, and he reassured me, you're going to love your boss. So when I got into another job, well, that lady didn't seem to like me very well. They moved me around, didn't know where I was going. And I'm going, God, what are you doing? How
right.
is this happening? Why is this
yeah.
happening to me? What have I done?
Right.
And then he landed me into the perfect job with the greatest boss I've ever had. But, you know, if it wouldn't have been for having been removed from that one position. I didn't do anything wrong. It's just she didn't like me.
Right.
But if I wasn't had been removed from that one position, it would not have put me in a position where they were saying, okay, we're going to find a job for you. And that's exactly what happened. So if I wouldn't have gone through that trial time.
Exactly.
And trusting God in that trial time, I wouldn't be in the position I am today if not for that. So it's like, praise God.
And you look back on that, and as you were going through it, there were those times of frustration and anguish and worry, of course, because you're human.
Of course.
But yeah. We watched you hang on and quote the word and declare that God was going to come through for you and bring about the answer and the right position for you. We saw you do that. Not only did we learn by watching your life, but you grew, did you not?
Oh, boy, did I grow a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew a lot, you know,
because
I'm with the school system, I really needed to stay with school system just because of seniority, and I would lose a lot of things, you know, by starting over brand new in a new system or new business or new, you know, and God just made it made it the way that I stayed in the same system, earning 4 weeks vacation a year, carrying it over from year to year, not losing seniority on my position. I mean, he took care of you. He did a better job than I could have done of bringing it together.
That's exactly right. And he does that. So listen up, audience, and know that if you're in a state of a transition right now, don't sweat like bullets. Just begin to praise God and rejoice that he's got the perfect place for you in your transition time. So what God was saying to Moses and then Moses to the people here in Deuteronomy 7 is, you know what? This is all going to work out fine. These people, they're strong, but here's some things that I don't want you to do. And I want us to make this practical with us today. Because at the end of, I'm not sure what verse that is, maybe verse 2 of Deuteronomy 7, God says to them, you must completely destroy them, offering them up as a holy destruction to God. Don't make a treaty with them. Don't let them off in any way. Don't marry them. Don't give your daughters to their sons, and don't take their daughters for your sons. Before you know it, they'd involve you in worshiping their gods, and God would explode in anger, putting a quick end to you. Here's what you are to do. And basically, he said, you got to smash down their idols. You've got to not buy into their false gods. You've got to continue to worship and trust the living God, God Almighty. Now, let's apply that to our everyday lives, because it's too easy to get involved with people that are not good for us, people that lead us astray, people that keep us out of the Word of God, people that influence us and try to tell us, oh, that God stuff, that's not that important. I don't know why you're all the time going to church and stuff like that. Talk to me about peer pressure, Angel, and you being a PhD licensed mental health counselor, Dr. Angel. You teach classes on inner relationships with people and kids and parenting and all that kind of stuff. Why did God say this drastic thing of you got to go in and destroy the enemy? You have to.
Well, because if you do not, the enemy comes back and it grows back in strength. And I think we see that a lot in relationships. I think there's some cultural belief in our relationships that, oh, if I've known this person forever, so therefore this must be a healthy relationship or a good one. And so we keep it alive because there's some longevity, but it's unhealthy. And when it's unhealthy, it's coming back for us.
That's right.
And it always comes back for us. And so when, you know, that enemy was not healthy, it'll grow back in strength. And we've got to be able to recognize what's healthy, not what's cool, what's socially accepted, what other people think we should do. What's healthy for us in our life?
That kind of reminds me of this series you and I are in right now on Thursday night on our show about exploring our truth, right?
Yes.
That so often it's easy to get caught up in other people's expectations and not set a standard for yourself.
Absolutely.
You want to amplify on that?
Correct. So when we're not setting that standard, we're kind of just tossed back and forth. We really don't know where we're going, what's expected of us, what we're doing, what do we want to do? Like, we are in a daze of confusion and we're trying to figure it out, but we can't.
We can't.
And this is the same principle of, you know, God gave us the power of our lives and of our free will. We get to yield that free will to who
Amen.
And what we want.
Yes.
The problem is so many of us are yielding that free will to other people.
That's right.
Instead of him.
So who you hang out with is extremely important.
You will become who you hang out with.
Is that true?
Absolutely true. It is. There is research behind that. We study it in counseling. We teach this principle. You become like the people you hang out with. And there's so many people that will find the person that's got the problems and they want to hang out with them, thinking, oh, well, I'm going to make them better. They make you worse at the end of the day. Because that's not healthy.
It's not. And people who marry somebody thinking, I'll change him or her as soon as we're married, that just doesn't work.
Nope.
Right?
It does not.
And so God understood this about human nature because he created human nature. And he said, you know what? You're going into a new land and I want you to destroy all the enemy. I want you to destroy them so that they don't have a chance to marry your kids and turn them against me, right? Meaning God. Nan, talk to us about this because you've been in the school system working for years and you see peer pressure, you see kids and how their lives can be totally influenced and changed for the worse depending on who they hang around with.
Yep. One thing that just came to mind are the fights that would occur in the school. I worked in a high school, and, you know, the girl fights were worse than the guy fights always. And, you know, like some of the girls would hang out with the wrong girls, you know. And so then they would get in trouble because they were hanging out with the wrong girls because, say, a fight ensued. They got involved. You know, the parents like, well, I've never had any problems with my daughter, blah, 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 whatever. But because she was hanging out with the wrong people, they influenced her, like Angel said, they influenced her, and she got in the fight just right with them, and she got the same punishment the other ones got.
Exactly. And so often, we don't realize how just the act of hanging around certain people can mess us up spiritually. Go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing I was saying is hanging around negative people.
Yes, yes.
In my small circle of friends, in my intimate most small circle of friends, and then as it goes out to the next circle, I don't have people in my life. Well, sometimes you're kind of stuck with your family members. But
right.
As far as friends...
I'd say, yeah, you definitely are.
As far as friends, I choose not to hang around people who are negative.
Yes.
I don't want that negativity rubbing off on me. I don't like being around it. They are Debbie Downer, as they would
right.
say. They're always talking negative. I don't need that kind of stuff in my life.
No. God's making that point right here. Good, Good Father by Chris Tomlin, Dr. Angel's favorite song. Why is this so important? Because we got to understand who our Father is and who we should become like. We've got to look like Jesus.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. You are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
A good father. He loves you.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
He loves you so very much. Praise God. It's because of God's great love for the children of Israel that he said, I don't want you to get messed up with people who don't love God or people that are would lead you into idolatry to worship idols of some kind. It was very important to God that his people, the children of Israel, stay true in their love for God. And that's very important to us right now, right? Still today. We're going over here to Joshua chapter 2, which I just want to point out verse 8 to 11 in Joshua 2. This is the story of Rahab, where the spies, Joshua sent out two spies to go into Jericho and see what was like over there and to see whether or not the people were even aware that the Israelites were coming to destroy the land, the city of Jericho, which was one of the strongholds of idol worship and prostitution and all kinds of things. And the woman Rahab had taken the two spies, this is Joshua 2, let's go to verse 8, had taken the two spies in and protected them and took care of them. And now they're having a little chat on the roof where she hid them under some hay. And they said, the woman came up to them and said, I know that God has given you the land. Whoa, we're all afraid. Everyone in the country feels hopeless. We heard how God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you left Egypt and what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan. We heard it. Our hearts sank. We all had the wind knocked out of us. All because of you, you and your God, the God of heaven, the heavens above and the God of the earth below. And so basically, the enemy knew how powerful God was. I think this is fascinating point of scripture right here in Joshua chapter 2, Angel, because it shows us that even our enemies understand that God is a God of power, that God is able to do miracles today. They may not want to admit it. They may not believe it, let's even say, but sometimes we find that down on the inside, they're afraid because they know. And I'm going to take this a step further, and you can comment on this, Angel, and then Nan. I believe the devil knows. He knows how powerful God is. He knows that God is everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. He knows that God is all-powerful, omnipotent. He knows that God knows everything there is to know about everybody, omniscient. Okay, God, his power is known by the devil for sure. And it's known by a lot of other people who are choosing to not follow God's ways. Do you want to comment on any of that, Dr. Angel?
Absolutely. And yes, I agree with you that the enemy definitely knows the power of God. That's why there is so much fear of that power of God.
That's right.
That exists, and it exists all over the place, even in our cultures and worlds today.
It does.
They absolutely do know. And I think that's one of the ways they try to do everything they can to distract us from our course of putting our faith and trust and hope in God and tapping into that power, because
they
know it's real and they know it's mighty. And, you know, their only real weapon is distracting us.
Exactly. And that's what the devil constantly tries to do. He tries to beat us down emotionally, physically, mentally, whatever he can do to weaken us, Nan. That's the goal of the devil all the time. The devil is that thief in John 10:10 that Jesus talked about that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come to give you life and to give it abundantly. You want to comment on any of that?
Well, I mean, as a personal example, and I do that quite often on the show, but
it's all right.
In past times, I struggled really hard with depression, and you know that. And it was tough, but I mean, if Satan can keep you down,
right?
You know, that's one way that he can do it, is through depression. Because you're like, okay, I don't want to go out of my house. I don't want to get out of my bed. I don't want to take care of what I'm supposed to take care of. I just want people to leave me alone and just let me be.
Right.
You know, and, you know, sometimes people do stupid things when they're in that kind of frame of mind. Maybe they try to harm themselves. Maybe they take too much pills. And I feel for people who feel that way. I mean, you know, I understand. And, you know, but see, Satan knows that if he can keep you that way, he's kind of won in a way.
Absolutely, you
know?
He's won.
And he knows the power that God has, and he knows the power that we can have through God's strength and Christ being with us, us leading unto that. Our eyes are opened up, and we're like, oh, that was Satan trying to keep
me down. That's exactly right.
I will not be kept down, the person can say.
That's exactly.
I am going to move forward in
Amen.
God. God is going to help me through this.
Yes.
And he's going to help me deal with this. And when I start getting depressed, he's going to help me deal with it. And that is a way to beat up Satan in a way, because then Satan's like, well, I can't go at him that way because they found me out. But he's fearful of God.
That's right. He is. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And what that is saying is we have power. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. That's evil words, evil actions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you. And so we see these two guys in Joshua 2, went into the city of Jericho, and they understood by talking to Rahab that the whole city was scared because the city believed in the power of God. Even though they didn't serve God Almighty, they believed that some force had moved the Red Sea back and 3 million plus people had walked across on dry land. So they knew something was up here, right? And I think, Angel, a lot of times people that haven't given their hearts to the Lord and seem to be stubbornly refusing it, in their weak moments will say, yeah, I know that God, I know my friend over there was healed, or I know this happened, or I know that happened. But I tell you, people that are not sold out to Jesus have a hard time giving God the credit, you know?
Yes, they do. They want to give everything and anything else possible the credit that they can. Absolutely.
Right. Going down to verse 17 in Joshua 2, we see that the guys, the spies, said to Rahab, want you to hang a red rope out the window and let us down on that and gather your entire family with you in your house, all of them. And that rope is going to be your saving grace. Now, that is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that still flows from Calvary, that old song. That the blood of Jesus still has the power today to cleanse your mind from all kinds of oppression. And I know some of you are going, that sounds a little wild, you know, talking about the blood of Jesus. No, this the power in the blood of Jesus, Nan. Talk about that. Here's one of your biggest weapons as you fight the devil, and it is the blood of Jesus over your mind.
And we need to pray that over our mind.
Yes, we do.
And sometimes if people can't pray that, they need to get with someone who can.
Right.
And they can help. They can teach them also how to do that. You know, we pray in the blood of Jesus. And there's power in praying in His name.
Absolutely.
There's power in that.
Well, Revelation 12:10-12 says this. This is how you overcome the devil. I didn't intend to bring any of these scriptures in. This is just God speaking to. If it's for you, then it's for you, dear, whoever you are. Revelation 12:10-12. We overcome the enemy, the devil. We overcome the devil by three things. The word of our testimony, that's you confessing God's word, okay? The blood of the Lamb, which is the blood of Jesus that we're talking about right now, using that blood of Jesus against the enemy. And the third is that we don't love our lives even unto death, which means we put Jesus first in our lives, God first. That's what it means. That's how you conquer the devil. Three things. What comes out of your mouth? And we just talked a minute ago. What comes out of your mouth? Does negativity come out of your mouth all the time? Do you say, I know God could, but I don't think he will? Because, I mean, I really haven't been real good. It's just like the Christmas season, you know. Are you naughty or nice? Is Satan going to... is Santa going to bring you any presents, right? So, I mean, a lot of us feel like we've just not been close to God, so God's not going to move in my life. Nan, discuss that, please, because that's not how God works. He's a good father.
He is a good father. That's not how he works. He knows our makeup. He made us. And he knows our human nature. He made us.
Yes.
And he loves us.
Right.
And, you know, maybe you have slipped up and maybe haven't been reading the word as much as you should. Or maybe you have the opportunity to share Jesus with someone and out of fear you didn't. You know, God's not going to beat you up over that type of stuff. I mean, if he was, there would be nobody in churches because everyone would be beat up. And that's not what God does. He loves us. You know, if we mess up, then we ask his forgiveness and we move forward. We don't wallow in it and move backwards. And
some
people,
exactly right.
many times, that's what people do. Some people like to be identified by the way they do, you know,
their fussiness. Negative.
Yes.
Their fussiness, yeah.
Yeah, the fussiness.
Yeah. Or wallowing in it, right?
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Right. I mean, they do because they get a lot of attention from that. A lot of people do. By just everything's terrible, you know.
Well, you know, some people want to make other people think their story is more difficult than so-and-so's story, and you keep telling the story to the same people over again. There again, that is just seeking attention of
right.
those people that you're sharing with.
That's exactly right.
There's
right.
nothing wrong with sharing prayer requests. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's when you keep saying stuff to people that are your friends or people that you're acquaintances or people that are brothers and sisters in the Lord in the church, you just keep saying and saying and saying the same thing all the time.
Well, what was that old song from Hee Haw? Misery and... I don't know that they used to sing.
Yeah, I know.
Depression.
Whoa.
Woe is me. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Angel, address this because it is a condition, a human condition, and we're going to do this song.
It absolutely is a human condition. And I think you're right. There's payoffs. There's always a payoff when we have a behavior. So what is it we're getting? Are we getting attention? Are we getting sympathy? Are we getting whatever it is that we're needing?
Right.
Instead of realizing that somebody needs to hear your testimony. Someone needs to know the hope in God. Someone needs to know, yeah, he has done it for me and he can do it for you. And when we rob God of those testimonies in our lives because we want to just find all the negatives, and we can find them if we're looking for them because they're there, or what are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on what God has brought us through?
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
I did go through that, but the glory of God, look where I am today. Or the
exactly.
glory of God, look at this door that's been
right.
opened. People need to hear that, and we're robbing
Amen.
Them when
Amen.
We don't say it.
When we don't say it, when we just go silent, like mm-hmm. as if we're, you know. I like the last verse of Joshua chapter 2. And the men headed back. They came down out of the hills. They crossed the river. They returned to Joshua. And they reported all their experiences. They told Joshua this. Oh, it was terrible. We think we're going to die. We better not. What?
Nope,
is that wrong?
No, that's wrong.
That's wrong. They said, yes, God has given the whole country to us. Everybody there is in a state of panic because of us. Guess what, dear ones? Impossible things, Danny Gokey. God can do impossible things. Claim this song for you right now. Love it. One of my favorites.
Healed a broken hearted, you set the captive free, you lift the heavy burden, and even now you are lifting me. There is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no darkness surrounding me. There you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, there is no healer like the Lord our Maker.
praise God. Even now, God's lifting you up. Even now, whatever you're going through is not too big for God. God wants to move mightily in your life. He doesn't want you to stay in the same place you've always been or where you happen to be today. If you're discouraged, depressed, sick, just emotionally a wreck, whatever it is that's going on in you, God wants to pull you out of that. He does impossible things, Nan. He can move those mountains in our listeners' lives along with our mountains also.
Yes, he can. You know, I mean, we can, the three of us here, we can reflect back on many times.
Yes.
In our life, many times. Some of which I know about both of you, probably a lot that I don't know about both of you, but that he has moved in what yes. seemed to be impossible things.
Yes.
He moved.
Yes.
He showed up. He showed out, and he took care of things.
Absolutely. And why is it that we know that he can, but so often we doubt that he will, Dr. Angel?
I think that comes with our feelings of unworthiness, our feelings of we're falling short, our own condemnation.
Yeah.
We condemn ourselves before God all the time. And then we don't believe he'll do it for us because we find some kind of fault in ourselves.
Right. And so where does that come from? That fault finding for others or ourselves is coming from the enemy.
Right.
And I love that these guys, when they came back, these two witnesses, yes, God has given the whole country to us. Now, that hadn't happened yet. But they are saying it very, very emphatically. Everybody there is in a state of panic because of us. And people, I'm telling you, the devil and his demons and his cohorts and the principalities and powers and principalities, that the devil is afraid of you if you learn how to use the name of Jesus as your weapon, the blood of Jesus, praise as a weapon, worship as a weapon. As you use those things, the devil is afraid of you, Nan. Even you, Nan.
Even me?
I'm teasing you.
I know you are.
But, I mean, seriously, we've got to realize the devil's afraid of us.
Once someone can really get that concept down within themselves, they will never be the same again.
I totally agree. Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, there's power in the name of
yes.
Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
There's power there. And, you know, when you can really grasp and get your brain around that, things change in your life. When
That's
you
right.
have trials come up, you know, you're better equipped how
That's
to
right.
deal with those trials because you take it to God and you say, you know, Jesus, help me here. You know, I need
you
help.
Know,
and he will.
You know why? That's because we're on his team. We're on God's team.
That's true.
Last Sunday afternoon, instead of here, I was in Indiana at the first basketball game of one of my grandsons, Mason. And Mason is in second grade. And so this is a big deal to have your first game. And it was in front of a lot of people. And it was a big deal to him. I mean, you know, first. And he went out there dressed in blue and white because his team had blue and white on. The other team had yellow. Okay. And there's a difference in the teams, right? So as a little second grader, he knew to throw the ball to somebody on his team, to play with his team to score points, right? Take that analogy, Dr. Angel, and run with it.
Well, and you know, that's just it. I think we aren't using our team. We are trying to throw the ball over to the yellow team, and then we're like, how come they took it? Why do they do
right.
what they just did and betrayed me and
right.
got their own score? And then we're walking in hurts and betrayals because we trying to mix the teams together.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work that way.
Well, I never once saw Mason throw the ball intentionally. He never even messed up and accidentally did it. So he never once threw the ball to a team member that had yellow on. He always threw it to the right team and set up plays as a second grader and coming around the corner and shooting a basket and, hey, whoa, okay? We need to be that diligent in our spiritual walk, Nan, because too often we are playing on the wrong team and we don't even know it. We're throwing the ball. I know I'm preaching. I'm sorry, but I was wowed up today and I still am. I have not. Lunch didn't change me, Nan. I'm still.
I tried.
I know. You tried to bring me down, didn't you, Debbie Downer? No,
yeah,
I'm teasing
yeah, yeah,
you.
Yeah.
That's a joke. No, she did not. No, I mean, but I am still passionate about this subject. We've got to know whose team we're on, and we got to throw the ball to the right team member.
I was just going to say, we got to be careful who we're throwing the ball to.
Absolutely.
Some people, they like to put on fronts, and they try to act a certain way, and they're
yes.
really not on your team.
Right.
They're on the opposing team.
Right.
But they put on such a good front. That's where you need to really lean to God for wisdom, guidance, and understanding to know,
right.
is this person wrong for me
right.
to have around? Should I not be sharing this information with this person?
Right. And when you are sure about the team members you're throwing the ball to, y'all need to be on the same page of what you're doing. Because I've seen games where when my kids were little playing and somebody forgot which basket was theirs and they went to the wrong end, you know, that's just little kids do that. Didn't happen last week in that game. Everybody knew what end of the gym they were to shoot that, right? Okay. And so that's what we've got to be doing, Angel, because too often we get caught. We just get bogged down by listening to somebody, give me the ball, you know, whatever. And we fall for it, you know?
Oh, yes, we do. And then we're hurt.
Yeah.
And that's where some of our grief and our problems and our struggles and our trust issues and all that comes from.
It does. Because so often we really start playing with the wrong team.
Mm-hmm.
We start listening to the wrong team. And we start. And here, these guys that came back and they said, God has given it to us already. It's ours. Those people are in a panic. And I propose today on the air, the devil is running scared from people like us, not just us. There's tons of people around this world, millions probably, that agree exactly with what we're saying right now. We got to be on the same page. And Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And then it talks about the prayer of agreement, who you agree with. Angel, Nan, and I are in agreement today on this show that the devil is a defeated foe. And we believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And you just got to get a hold of these principles, dear one, and start walking in. Nan, talk to us before we get to the top of the hour here.
Well, I just want to reiterate what you just said. They need to learn. They need to walk in it. I mean, you need to, you know, toss things off to your team members.
Right.
Not the other team.
Exactly.
Know? And, you know, Satan, he knows how powerful we are when
right.
we have God. And when we're walking in and we're claiming Jesus in situations, we're pleading the blood of Jesus over situations, when we're moving forward with our testimony, he knows how powerful that is because
exactly.
he knows how powerful God is.
Absolutely.
And that's why he tries to beat us down.
Exactly.
Because he wants to beat us down because he doesn't like us moving in the power of God.
Amen. And so for those out there who need prayer, Nan, what can they do? Prayers at
bohmglobal.com.
Why?
Well, they can send in a prayer request. They don't have to put their name. Just send a prayer request. We have a prayer team. One of three people put it out on that line, and you have a lot of people praying about situations. And we love feedback. When God answers, give us back feedback on that. We've had feedback on cancer being removed. We've had feedback on all types of things in people's lives, how God moved in miraculous ways, and they would send back and let us know. Guess what God did?
Because God is still doing miracles today.
He's
still in the miracle working business, guys. Angel, you want to comment on any of that? Because you've been going through a battle physically, and we all know that. But look where you are now, and your hair's grown back, and look at you. Strong.
Working on getting strong. It's a journey every day.
Her hair grew back blue, people. We don't understand. I'm teasing. Since you can't see her, then I'm just putting that out there and see if you believe it. But no.
That's a good one, actually. No, it is. It's a journey every day. And at any time in this journey, it's easy to get swallowed by that moment. And it's staying forward and putting one foot in front of the other and getting in the praise music and getting in the worship and getting in the word and knowing where my trust is coming from and where my strength is coming from moment by moment.
You mean you had to work at it?
I still work for it every moment.
Okay, why? Why can't you just say, okay, well, I'm okay now?
Because my enemy,
yes.
cancer, is way bigger than me.
That's right. And so, but greater is he that's in you,
right.
correct?
But not bigger than my God.
That's right, but not bigger than your God. So we agree with that. Praise God, praise God. You are the healed one. And for our listeners out there that are going through difficult times, as Nan said, we encourage you to use our prayer line. We've had it out there for about 12 years. Prayers at bohmglobal.com, and we will pray for you. We will write a prayer for your need. It'll get out to our many people prayer team. You can be a part of the prayer team by also just sending a email to prayers at bohmglobal.com and say, put me on your prayer team, because we will be happy to do that. Dr. Angel, you got about 40 seconds. Talk again about our show Thursday night and why it's important.
Wow, yes, our show Go Yard. And it is really important. It's practical tools to help you get through life, to help you not just exist, but to live life and live it well. And no matter what you're going through, you know, parenting issues, issues with your past, insecurities, problems with goals, depression, anxieties, boundary issues, we have shows out there. We have a show that will give you things to help you get through.
Amen. So go to Go Yard. That's the name of it, which means hitting a home run in life. Go Yard 2014. That's the year we began. .org. It's an O-R-G. Go there and listen to this. We'll get it here.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
And if you're listening on one of the radio stations live, that's great. Welcome. You may be listening globally on tantalknetwork.com. You can just go to that website, and what is going on currently, like right now, will be coming up right there when you go tantalknetwork.com. Tune in. And a lot of people do listen in other states and countries. We hear from people. So wherever you are, we welcome you to